It's History Talk with Dr. Lavert Kemp.
Do you know your history?
And I'll go back into some other things with the origin of man.
Do you know who you are?
Class is in. It's time for Breaking Chains and History Talk with Dr. Lavert Kemp.
What you learned, has it been a lie?
So turn the broadcast up and let's break chains in our history.
It's History Talk. Yeah, History Talk.
Being brought to you by the United Theological Seminary and Bible College at Rouge, Louisiana.
Good evening. Good evening to each and every one. And God bless you from Breaking Chains, History Talk. Every Tuesday, I pondered what to start our lesson off with. And for African Americans, or just Africans, or those who are from the African dispersion, there's a lot of things that we discussed, and we have been missed of slavery by white America. They say the Bible was built upon slavery, and the Bible talks about slavery. And I'm not saying that it's not found in the Bible, but I'm saying that it is interpreted incorrect. And I want you to understand tonight, I'm going to start off teaching tonight about biblical slavery. And I'll go back into some other things with the origin of man. And I'll talk about Emancipation Proclamation, about the slavery in America. And I'll talk about some genetics. And I'll talk about there was people of African ancestry that was in the Americas maybe 4,000 years before Columbus ever set foot here. Not on soil, because Columbus, although we have Columbus Day is October the 12th. Columbus never, we've been miseducated, Columbus never set foot in America. Amen. It's important that we understand, too, that slavery is nothing but an act of the devil. Satan was put here by Satan himself. It is important that we understand, those who are Christian, those who are students of your Bible, that you would understand that when God created earth, that the earth was void and without form, Satan had already been kicked to the earth by Michael to put Satan out of heaven. Satan was wandering around. That's why he was able to embody the serpent. But Satan was already on this earth, and it is Satan who orchestrated slavery. And I'm about to show you this biblically, how Satan orchestrated slavery. And I'm going to tell you something about slavery. Amen. In the Bible, it talks about when God created mankind. It says, and that's in the book of Genesis, the first chapter, verses 26 through 28, and it says, then God said, "Let us make man in our image and our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish, the sea, the birds of the air, over all the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply in numbers, fill the earth, subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea, the birds in the air, and every living creature that moves upon the earth." Now God told us, God said, "I give you every seed, a barren plant on the face of the earth, and every tree that has fruit and seed in it. They will be yours for food." See, when God created man, he first created man to be a vegetarian, a herbivore. Man later on became a flesh eater. But what's very important about this, He told man that he gave man authority to rule over everything. He told him that he gave man authority over the fish of the sea, the fowl over there, and every creature thing that was that creepeth upon the earth. And so he creates man. Then they said that God put man in the garden. I want you to pay close attention. I'm going somewhere with this. I'm going to show you why slavery began from being slothful, being lazy, because of curse from the devil. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man that, the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you shall certainly die. That's spiritual death in the sin. Now I'm going to take you over to the part where man, where Satan caused man to go into the hatred and man to look at how, excuse me, how Satan really orchestrated slavery. Watch this, watch. It says, and this is Genesis, I'm going to go from Genesis 3:15 through 19. It says, I'm going to do the NIV. It says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you shall strike his heel. To the woman, he said, I will make your pain in childbearing very severe. With painful labor, you will give birth to children. Your desires will be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Now here it comes. To Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife and ate from the fruit of the tree about which I command you, you must not eat of it. It's the ground. A curse now, because you through painful toil, you ate food from it. All the days of your life, it will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plant of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground. Since from it you were taken, and thus you are, and thus you shall return. Now listen what he told Adam, and this is where it came from. Satan caused man to have to fall, to work very, very hard. Satan caused mankind to fall, and man had to work very hard. Man had to toil. Listen at what it said. It say, from the sweat of your brow. Now, he told him, you were laying around now, but from the sweat of your brow, he said, through painful toil. Told him, say, through painful toil. He said, curse the ground because of you. Through painful toil, that means struggling and working hard, you will eat from it. All the days of your life, it will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plant of the field. And then he says, from the sweat of your brow, hard work, you will eat your food. And then he says, from dust I shall return, that man would die physically. Now listen, when I said this, you may ask where I'm going with this. From that point on, man had to labor hard. He no longer was, until he listened at Satan, he would name the animal and all the tree, he just pick it enough for him to live off of. Everything, he didn't have to worry about killing animals, cleaning them, because I read to you earlier, every vegetable and fruit was for him. He was supposed to be, I told you that he was supposed to be a vegetarian, a herbivore. He wasn't supposed to be a carnivore, which is a meat eater. Now, Satan brought sin into it when he made them have to work. Man is lazy. Man didn't want to do the work, so man started getting involved in slavery. Now, it is important that we look at these things about mankind, because throughout your Bible, you're going to find out that it's been said that slavery was okay biblical, but slavery was never okay biblical. God did not stop it, nor did God condone it. God only told made some laws for them how to treat person was a slave. Now, before I go any further, I want to give you some instructions to study. You will find out that if a Hebrew person, that you find out that almost 99% of the people down there had some people through war and things like that who were captured and end up being slaves. But the rest of the people mainly sold themselves into servitude. Sometime that they were talking about a man selling his daughter into slavery. All that was dealing with was a dowry where he would give his wife, he would sell his daughter to someone, like a dowry, and they'd still do it in Africa and other places. You have to pay somebody for their daughter, and then you marry that daughter. That person's son or themselves married that child. Now, I want you to pray and things, so it was not real slavery. Now, in Genesis 14, chapter 14 and 14, they said that Abraham had like 318 men serving. And I listened to what it said in Genesis 14 and 14. When Abraham heard that his relative, talking about Lot, had been taken captive, 318 trained men born in his house and went and pursued as far as there. He went and he battled with them and he brought his nephew Lot back. Those 313 would have been counted as servants, but they never treated a servant the way that slaves were treated. Now, with 318 individuals, walking around the wilderness, you go out there, you could easily just kill this person and go on about your business. He took with him 318. They could have walked on about their business, but they were not being treated. And notice the term that they used, 318 trained men born in his household. This circumcised them. It's in 14 and 14. They lived, they ate, they worked. If they shed all the crops that they grow, they shed when they were eating goat or sheep. They shed in everything that they had. And then it was illegal for a person if you had it. Now, listen at this, and I'm going to tell you tomorrow. In Genesis 15, chapter verse 2 and 3, it tells you that when Abraham, you remember he was Abram first, he didn't have any children, but now it was said that Abraham says, talking to God in a vision, he says, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer from Damascus. Now, Eliezer is his slave. Eliezer is the slave of a servant. He wasn't really a slave, but he was a servant of Abraham or Abram. And he wasn't an Israelite. He was from Damascus. Now listen at what it says. And Abraham said, you have given me no children. So the servant in my house is my heir. I mean, everything that the 117 servants that worked for him would have been working for the servant Eliezer. Now, all this is telling you the sheep, the cattle, the goat, whatever he had would have been for Eliezer. Now, I want you to do what you call, now listen at this. You want something whenever someone want to tell you about slavery in Old Testament? In Exodus 21 and 16, listen at what this says. If anyone who kidnaps someone is to be put to death, whether the victim has been sold, whether this victim has been sold or is still in the kidnapper's possession. Majority of slaves here was really kidnapped from their homeland and brought over here. Us and make us believe they were sold on the person in Africa could become a part of a tribe if they stayed there and worked and agreed to go to battle with that tribe. So it was totally different from what we see today. And slavery was today, you know, you couldn't do it. Now, this said in Exodus 21 and 16 that if you're sold, there was to be put to death. Anyone who kidnaps someone is to be put to death, whether it is the victim, whether the victim has been sold, whether the victim has been sold, but is still in the kidnapper's possession. That person was supposed to have been killed. If they came there and they brought that person, those ship people bringing slaves over to America, biblically, they were to be killed. Now, I want us to, that if you think that's so, then Leviticus, now listen to what Leviticus says. I'm going to explain this to you. Leviticus 25th chapter, verse 43. Now, listen to what it says. Now, you have to understand that a person that sold himself into slavery was to work for 7 years. Some after 6 years, they granted them, they let them go. You was not really a slave. You ate good, but you were working off the debt. A lot of people did not own anything, and those who owned a lot was able to hire people. Because you remember earlier, I just told you that slavery was something from the pits of hell from Satan. When Satan caused man to fail and man had to work and earn from the sweat of his brow. And, you know, when he was earning from the sweat of his brow and thorns and thistles he would bear. And when he had to really work, man being slothful and lazy, man got other men and captured and enslaved other men to do the work for them. That's what happened in America. And, well, and the children of Israel, they were supposed to have the Hebrews. They would only work them to pay off a debt. And then if they wanted to stay on, because you was eating good and they couldn't treat you bad. Now, because in Leviticus, the 25th chapter and the 43rd verse, it say, you shall not rule over him ruthlessly, but shall fear your God. In other words, God said, you're not to beat him, you're not to rape him, you're not to do anything like that to them. But that's not what happened in America. See, we have to understand that the same people that's trying to tell us that slavery was okay, it was part of the Bible, is a lie. You know, God looks at, and then if you want to find out, you say, well, that was everything, Pastor Kemp, well, Dr. Kemp, well, everything that you quoted was Old Testament. Well, you know, if then they say, well, you could go in the New Testament and it had a runaway slave in the book of Philemon. It talks about a runaway slave, and Paul told him to go back. Well, he owed that guy money that he was a servant under. He was under servitude, you know. They had different people. They had people that was in sold themselves into slavery. There were some people that were indentured servants and others that were there. Now, slave could stay the rest of his life if he wanted to be there. But you still have to understand that after so long, on the day of Jubilee, they were supposed to set the slave free. Now, and I just read to you in Leviticus 25 and 43, say you should not rule over, talking about your servant, ruthlessly, mean to him, beat him, and kill him, but shall fear God. Now listen to what Timothy said, and you can look this up. This is in the book of 1 Timothy, the first chapter, in the 10th verse. The sexual immoral men who practice homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine. Did you get that? That Paul, Timothy is your pastoral epistle. Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy, and Titus. This is the letter where Paul was writing to tell them how to govern the church. He told them sexual immoral individuals, men who practice homosexuality, enslavers, those who enslave people, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine. It's against God's ordinance. It's time that we start studying our Bibles and find out, because there's so much stuff that's contrary to God's will. God didn't will that we be slaves. Now God still do allow it, because we have slavery right now. Little girls being sold into slavery and being prostitutes right now in America. We have it all over the world still going on, where they're kidnapping people from Asian countries and bringing them up here by ship, keeping them in, have them working in massage parlors and going in the back and servicing the gentlemen, the men. That's today. Guys pimping young girls and beat them and keep them making money in servitude. That's a form of slavery. But the slavery in the Bible was totally different from the day. You get an opportunity, you could go to Christian, what is it's called Christian. It's called by a deal with Christian. It's a Christian Bible study group that discuss different topics, and you could find out from them. You could look, they'll give you all the information you need. ChristianQuestion.com. And it'll answer, you could ask questions, and you could come up with the scriptures necessary to refute anything someone said. And for centuries, we've been bombarded that blacks should be slaves and things like that. We've been bombarded. But, you know, the reason why I came up, I wanted this, is because slavery was ended with the Emancipation Proclamation in 1863 in America. But but the import of slaves, bringing in slaves to America, it ended long before then. It ended in 1803, but the South continued to bring slaves in. But nevertheless, what I'm trying to say is, so we were taught, now this is crazy, we were taught that slavery was okay by the Bible. But I'm a person that I just, excuse me if I stutter a little, but I'm a person that you can't just tell me anything, because I will study. I will study and I will find some information about that matter. You can't just tell me anything. Do you know, too, in America, America is just going haywire with the voting rights and things like that? Don't you know they have what they call a Confederate Bible? And I'm looking at purchasing one just to look at a person's mindset, because it's still carrying over right now. The effects of it is still permeating throughout our country today. And when I say our country, I'm talking about America, because the majority of African Americans have been here longer than majority of the whites. The majority of the whites came to Ellis Island. And if you want to look it up, it's called the Confederate Bible, and you can find out the Sisters of the Confederacy. They taught their children all these racist things that that we hear. And that's why one thing that the children have been taught by elders about being racist. And so long as that's going through and the children are being taught by elders, and see, that's what we learn from. A child is not born to be a racist. A child is, that's a taught behavior. You know, that's a taught behavior. And so when I look at a white person, a person of Caucasian persuasion, I look at somebody who have been trained in the art of white supremacy. Now, it's important that we understand, too, the difference in the slavery that I just came there, where Eliezer lived in the house and he ate and he was able to inherit Abraham's fortune, and you wasn't supposed to beat a slave, was not, so you wasn't supposed to beat the slave or mistreat the slave. And if you were caught selling a slave or selling someone, you go kidnap a person, like so many of us today were kidnapped from Africa and brought here. You saw that on Roots. They didn't buy them. They went in with guns and raided villages. And what's so bad about it today that we see, I often, on this program, I use the saying that a picture is worth a thousand words. Well, if you think about what's been said, it's been taught to us that all we did, we sold our own people into slavery, but that's far from the truth. They were doing that first. They did. Some did. Don't get me wrong. Some did, but the majority of them were captured. The Icemen would go over and shoot up villages and would take the younger slaves because they were younger, they would live longer, and they could take the journey, and they could work them longer, and they were easier to train and learn a language, another language. But I want us to understand that when blacks first came into slavery, you know, some of the first ships that came to America, the ship, it came the fourth summer, April of 1619. It didn't come the fourth summer, but that the first slave came to America in 1619. But now we have to understand that from that point on, they had a many, many slaves that came over. You know, some of the greatest things that places that people came to America was 26% of the slave came from the Congo. Mbangu, the blight of Bafora, talking about the Igbo, the Tankras, or the Buai, or Bulos, that was 24%. Sierra Leone, 15.8%. The Mende and the Temes, Senegal, Bamba, the Mandinka, you heard about Manduka, the Fule, and the Wolofs. About 14% of slaves came from there. From the Windward, where they tell me the Gold Coast, Akan from, was 13.1%. The Windward Coast, Madi and the Keys, were 5%. The Bright of Benai, Yoruba, Eva, the Fulani, 4.3%, which I have some Yoruba, Igbo. I have some Mandinka and some others when I went through my heritage. But they're just saying where most of the slaves that came to the Americas, where the percentage of it. And a lot of them came from the Congo and Angola. Because here in Louisiana and certain parts of Louisiana, specifically in the Feliciana's around where the state maximum security prison is. The name of the place is called Angola, Louisiana, because the plantation sit on 18,000 acres, and which is the prison now that sit on 18,000 acres. And the slaves that were there was from Angola, so they named the place Angola. Now, it's important that we understand, too. Now, I told you earlier that in January the 1st, 1808, it was eight, I said 1803, but excuse my mistake, that the U.S. official banned the importation of slaves from Africa and the West Indies. And it was banned in the slaves in 1807, but it was officially put together in 1807. Now, again, now, at the slaves at Point Comfort, where the first place where the slave did come in Virginia, around Jamestown, and that was 1619. Now, but just to go further, but because the slavery that our forefathers and African-Americans' forefathers, because I pray that we have some Caucasians that who are listening in tonight will understand just the that we faced. They would take you to Goree Island or Goree Castle, and they would keep them there for months, crowded where people had to stand up the whole time. And when they would take time to sit down, but they wasn't cleaning the place. You were standing in your own feces for months. Then you was loaded on a ship for a 2 to almost 3 month journey, chained to the bottom of the wood ship, bed sores, urinating and feces on yourself. You made too much noise, you were beat. People dying and being thrown overboard. The sick being thrown overboard because they couldn't get money for them. Then when you was brought here, you wasn't fed a good meal. The food, they didn't have you on a good diet. You wasn't eating much, but they were working you from sun up to sundown. You were raped. You were sodomized. You were whipped. You were burnt. You were lynched. This did, but for some reason today, they don't want this part taught in school today, the true history. The true history is just how low the Caucasian race have been throughout history. The lie about you look at how Rome is built though with the Colosseum. Rome didn't collect them slaves. Who you think built Rome up, the Colosseum that Rome had? Rome, they didn't build it. Man have been lazy. I told you, I took you back to the time of Adam and Eve, and I told you that when sin came into the world, Satan brought sin into the world, and laziness followed. Man didn't want to do his own work, so he got servants to do it. Those who could pay for it, paid for it. Those who had the strong arm, they did it. America was built on slavery. Over 250 years, right at 300 years, nothing but being in servitude. Now, that's how long it was before Emancipation Proclamation, but it lasted even longer. It lasted 300 and something plus years because man started sharecropping. I couldn't understand how could a person be a sharecropper when you don't share on the profit what a person gets. You work you from sun up to sundown in their field, the sugarcane cotton field. They got rich, and you was on there. You stayed on their land, and the only thing you did, you had the money that the little money you got, you bought from their stores, and so you didn't make anything. You didn't make enough to buy you somewhere to live and to move away. And I know how this go because I've seen my people, my relatives, and I've seen how my father had to come off of the plantation by saving his money up when he went over in World War II. Now, it's very important for us to say that I told you that in 1808 that the United States officially banned the importation of slaves from Africa. I mean, you couldn't bring slave ships would not be entered into the United States with, but the southern states, Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, Florida, South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia, Kentucky, and Tennessee, Arkansas, all these countries continued to want a slave because they wanted free labor. So they wanted to leave the Union, secede from the Union. And since they wanted to secede from the Union, that's how the Civil War started. The lie is, and this the lie that the war wasn't started by slavery, but the war was. They say it was more than just slavery. It was state rights and the Western expansion. Well, the state rights consisted that the southern states wanted to keep slaves, and that's why they wanted to pull out. So that lie that they tell in history is a lie. They don't tell you that the people who came here, brought here, were no more than a bunch of poor dummies, vagabonds that came off the street, out of jail, who didn't own anything, who came here. So they didn't want to work. They were lazy. Most of them were, a whole lot of them were alcoholic. And so the slaves had to do the work and build the country. The war really started April the 12th. 1861, that was the start of the war. And the first shot was fired at, on April the 12th. It was fired at Fort Summer Springs. Okay, and they said it was 4 a.m. that the first shot was fired at Fort Spring Summer. Okay, that's the beginning. The southern states left the Union in 1860. In April 12, 1861 was the start of the war. Now, it's important that we pick up on this. Now, the Emancipation Proclamation actually happened. Now, listen to what I'm about to tell you. Emancipation Proclamation really occurred in 1883, that's when the war was just about over with, and they signed the Emancipation Proclamation. But today, the reason why we celebrate Juneteenth is not to see, because the other states knew that the war was over with. The Emancipation Proclamation was January the 1st, 1863, and the U.S. Approached its third year in a bloody civil war. In the third year of the war, President Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation. The proclamation declared that all persons here as slaves within the rebellious states, meaning the South, are and henceforth shall be free. But now, here it is. The slaves in Texas didn't know they were free until June 19, 1865. So you look at 2 years and over 5 months later, almost 6 months, you could say 6 months later, yeah, 6 months later, 2 years and 6 months, the slaves in Texas found out. Now, the history book tell us that some 2,000 Union troops arrived in Galveston, Texas. The Army announced that more than 250,000 enslaved blacks in that state of Texas were, by executive decree, this day came to be known, and that's why we have it as the decree as June 19th. And it was not because that's the day that slavery was supposedly put to an end. It was no okay. In 1808, that's when they told them that they could not bring any more slaves into the United States, import them to bring them in. But the southern states did not listen. They continued to bring the slaves in, and they were not going to give up slavery. See, now, the decree that, that President Lincoln had gave, it was took over, like I say, 2 years and 6 months to be abolished of slavery. So on January the 1st, 1865, the true abolition or abolition of slavery was achieved when the 13th Amendment was ratified on December the 6th, 1865. Now, I want you to understand about this now. Slavery was ratified, but there was a ratification of that with the 13th Amendment. Now, the 13th Amendment didn't help do us justice because it said that if a person committed a crime, they could be put back into servitude. Now, what they're saying that you could be put back into servitude, mean if you committed a crime, all now slavery is just over with, right, in 1865. So, but you could be put back into servitude. Servitude is slavery. So, in essence, if you committed a crime, if you were walking around off the plantation, they got a law called vagrant. If you couldn't show where you had money, you couldn't show where you had a job, anything, you could be locked up. Now, they just set you free. Any little crime you commit or any crime they said that you committed, they would send you to jail, and they would hire you back to the same plantation that you just left off to work for free. So it was a double-edged sword because when President Johnson came in after the assassination of President Abraham Lincoln, he came in, he pulled the troops out of the South, and then the Knight Riders and the Klan started riding. You couldn't walk the street or to try to move from the plantation because you would have been lynched, burned, or hung. Okay, so most of the people stayed right where they were. They could not read. They didn't know anyone, didn't have anywhere to go. So many stayed in the South. Now, I'm going to read this and then, because I think it's important, because now they asked which state had the more slaves in 1790. Well, the state with the more slaves in 1790 was Virginia. They had 292,627. South Carolina had 107,094. Maryland had 103,076. North Carolina had 100,572. They had more in that area where they first started bringing them in than they had in Mississippi, Alabama, Louisiana, Texas, or any other place, for the dead to say. And also, I found out that some of my people, specifically on my dad's side, were mulattoes, and they were sold from South Carolina to Louisiana. So I do have some ancestors, but the most important thing too I want you to get is this: our history started long before the history of America. Blacks played an important role in the Bible. We played an important role. And you trying to figure out who you are because we don't know who we are. You are the original human being. When I say the original, I mean that you are truly the original human being. All you have to do is talk to some anthropologists or geneticists and begin to sit down those who are not trying to hide what they've already written. Or pick up the books and you'll find out they have already written that you are that person, that life came, originated in Africa from dark-skinned people. people of color from Africa. Those are the original human beings. And this is proof by their own anthropology, the study of man. We're going to look into it because I want us to understand. And I can also coincide this, too, with the Bible. Now, they have what you call Australopithecus. Dealing with anthropology, Australopithecus and Sensanthropy and things like this. This deal with the study of mankind, anthropology, the origin of man. Now, I just had someone to ask me a question at the Y as we were working out the Bible contradicting itself, because the Bible, the world is could define in fossils and every and of individual that's more than 6,000 years old. Dinosaurs more than 6,000 years old. And I want to ask, and what Bible did anyone see where they said 600,000 years ago God created the heavens and the earth? The Bible only says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now I know where it comes from. They talk about Methuselah after Adam, how long he lived, and then they count the time of Methuselah. And we don't know how long it was before God started allowing things to start counting. Methuselah lived 969 years, which is the longest living individual that we have record of, before man starts slowly dying. Okay, they talk about Lucy being Australopithecus, and they're talking about that in 1974 in Ethiopia, they found a fossil of a proconsul of evolution, also because she was a household name at that time, and the name Lucy became a household name because Don Johansson and Tom Gray was looking for some rocks and other things when they stumbled up on Lucy, the pelvis bone and some other bones of a female. And when they dated her, she would date back to 3.18 million years. Now, this is someone black. And I want you to really put this together. It doesn't matter who you are, if you're Caucasian or you're black. I want you to look up and find out when they go look for the oldest fossils or the origin of the human race, they go to Africa. Now, I need to put a little period there just for a moment. If you read your Bible, because you're going to say, well, what you've been taught is that everything started over in Asia, around Asia, and that's not the truth. The Bible declared by the Garden of Eden, you've been trained to that notion, but you haven't been trained for the truth. If you read your Bible, this is that when God created the garden where he put Adam and Eve was going to be, when he created it, it came from four river heads. One river turned to four river heads. First is the Gihon, and the second is the Pishon. Well, the Gihon and the Pishon both are the Nile River, and they said that the Gihon, it encompassed the land of Havilah, which is Cush, but that's Beldona. Well, that's Ethiopia. That's on the African continent. And then the other one, what they talk about is the Pishon, and they say about something about it encompassed land of Djibouti, which is Mali land, which is Somalia. All this is Africa, on the eastern coast of Africa. Now I know that the flood, when he did it, when God created, in the second chapter of the book of Genesis, I know that the flood did not occur until around the ninth or tenth chapter of the book of Genesis. when the flood occurred, about the ninth chapter of Genesis, when Noah and the flood. So that was before the deluge was to God. But then that just changed the whole geography of the land masses after the flood. That part ended up having the Gulf of Suzan, they end up with the Red Sea and other different lakes that divided the land mass. There is even been said, if you want to do some research on it, about the Red Sea, they said land bridge. In other words, where you could see that it was all connected together at one time. So that's what I want you to see. Now, then they go on and they talk about the Hiddekia and the Euphrates River. Now, it's been said that the Hiddekia River is the Tigris River. Now, the Hiddekia being the Tigris River, but I beg to differ, because they said that the Hiddekia ran east and west, but the Hiddekia runs parallel with the Tigris River today. And that's north and south. So I don't think that the Hiddekia River is the Tigris River, because it does not run the way that the Bible says that it would run. So I'm of the opinion that they got it wrong. Whoever was trying to interpret what it was saying was getting it wrong, because they were trying to say that keep it in Asia, which it was never in the Garden of Eden, because case in point is that in the garden, it had every animal. And just to say right there in that small vicinity, you couldn't have giraffe, lion, rhinos, hippos, cheetahs, leopards, you name them, wolves, and all these other animals, you could not have them. You know, you couldn't have all these different types of animals. And then with this, you'll find out that the garden was a very large place. Now, before I move on a little bit, I want to tell you about the Abantu River. Now, the Nile River is the Hiddekia, but the Nile River is the Pishon and the Gihon. And the Nile River splits off in one part, go around Ethiopia, and the other one go around Somalia, and then it empties out into the Mediterranean. But now that you can look that up in your Bible. You can look that up with a Bible or a book, and it will tell you that during the creation that's where the garden was located at. That those are the rivers they're talking about. You have what you call the Blue Nile, and you have what you call the White Nile. But there's also a river that could be the Hiddekia River that springs off it, because it does run east and west. It's called the Abantu River. But it's time that we start researching it, because right now they're talking about turning the country back over a white, since we had a black president. They're saying that we can't teach true history, because then white kids are going to find out they didn't discover, didn't invent, and that they were savages that committed genocide, rape, and other things. So it wasn't nothing good about anything that they ever done. Thing that they ever did was being a heathen, and the children have to learn to deal with true history. It's time that we be transparent. After when President Obama came into being, and he came to be president, the Tea Party formed, and the Tea Party main thing was, we want our country back. And oftentimes, most blacks said, and did not understand what they were saying. What they were saying, that we had mass enough people of color to vote and put people in office. And this is what I mean. You had enough Native Americans people are Hispanics, you know, from Mexico and Hispanics or Latin American, and a few, and some white votes, and you didn't have to get a high percentage of white. But if you could have got 15 to 20% of white votes and got 15% of Latino votes, take the 15% of them, get their 15% of the voters of America. You had 40%, and then America, then the black is 13%. That would give you 50. That would give you about 53 right there, not counting the people from Asia and others. So that would be enough to get you in. And they're afraid that they're going to lose their power and will not rule America anymore. There's also a lady that worked in the cabinet of President President Biden. She made a statement that just really touched me, that people would make that statement, that the people in America, they should have a mandate that America should have no more than one or two kids. And it's no secret that the white population and white childbirth has decreased. African-American childbirth is staying the same. It's level off, being the same. But Hispanic birth rate is sky high. And so they don't want them in to populate because they're going to lose the power with a democracy. So now they want to fix it, rig the voting thing where if they don't like the way the voting come out, they can say who they want to win by the state. And they red states. That's what's going on. So it's a lot of things that are going on that we're seeing and things. And so I was telling you about that. But now I want to go on since that I was telling you the reason I told you about in Ethiopia, but I wanted to let you know that that was part of the Garden of Eden. Now, you had Lewis and Mary Douglas Leakey. They were really Britain paleontologists who discovered the first fossil proconsul skull. Now, but that proconsul skull wasn't a human. It was a stink ape, which is now believed to be the ancestor of the human race. But they found, discovered robust, what they call Zinzanthropus. Now, Zinzanthropus simply means East Africa. They found a skull in the O.D. Gorge in Tanzania, in East Africa. And the archaeological and anthropological fossils that they found of an ancestor to an ape, then they found human remains in the O.D. Gorge. And while excavating in the O.D. Gorge, they found different arrowheads that date back over a million. Now, this one could go back to 7 million years ago, but that's Zinzanthropy. And they found these fossils, and they tell us that mankind have been much longer than what we thought that man had been there. But now listen at this. Listen at this, if you will. And I was talking with the city council person of my area, and she had invited me to her office, and we sat down and just had a conversation, and she was picking my head about certain things, and she texted me back because she didn't take the correct notes. But I told her that everybody came from one lady. And I know that we in the Bible, it talks about Adam and Eve. But now this lady's name is Eve. Now, if we trace back the DNA at the maternal, you know, heritage part of mitochondria within ourselves, all humans, have a theoretical common ancestor. This woman known as Mitochondria Eve, she is between 100 to 200,000 years ago she lived in South Africa. She wasn't the first human, but every other female lineage eventually had no female offspring, failing to pass on the mitochondrial DNA as a result. All humans today, listen at me, not Africans, but all humans today, Africans too, but I'm saying every race, I don't care if you're Chinese, Japanese, I don't care if you're Russian, I don't care if you, where you're from, Brazil, America, wherever you're from, we carry her DNA. Now listen at this. As a result, all humans today can trace their mitochondrial DNA back to her. Within her DNA and that of her peers exists all the genetic variation we see in contemporary humans since Eve time. Since 200,000 years ago, everybody carries her DNA. White, black, dead, I don't care, yellow, whatever color you are, you carry her because we all came from that black woman. See, in contemporary humans today, Eve time, different populations of humans have drifted apart genetically, forming distinct ethnic groups that we see today. About 2,300 years ago, they found a man that had died about 2,300 years ago in South Africa. They found his fossils. And what they noticed when they were able to get DNA, that when they got their mitochondrial DNA from this man, they found out this guy in Southern Africa is the closest relative yet known to the humanity common to the female ancestry, mitochondrial Eve. They know that he lived in a fishing area where there was fishing, and his genetics there was matched Eve's. Now, the place where they found his remains is called St. Helen Bay in South Africa. By a geologist name was Andrew Smith of the University of Cape Town. Now, as we sequenced everything, they found out that the first humans came from sub-Saharan Africa, which really is the cradle of humanity, to have had DNA sequenced. Now, that's something that we need to look at, and then we may be thinking, say, well, Pastor, well, Dr. Kemp, well, why do we look so different? And I always love to talk about this. Why do we look so different from the way whites look different from black? Now, I want you to understand that out of Africa, when the blacks start leaving out of Africa and moving to other areas from that hot African climate and the sun thing, because Africa has a lot of desert areas, about 70,000 out of Africa started 70,000 years ago. After modern humans established themselves in Africa, small populations launched out to establish a foothold in Asia. That's over where we see the Holy Land or Babylon and all that rock and all in those areas that Saudi Arabia. You have, as you notice, they are dark-skinned people. Asia, before they spread it east to Europe, and they say that they spread it east to Europe maybe about 40,000 years ago, and then reaching the America went west to the Americas. Now, I want you to understand that that the people were black. And this is what I want you to understand. One of our greatest and the father of genetics, his name is Gregor Mendel. And he talks about inheritance involving the passing on of discrete units of inheritance, talking about genes that come pass on from our parents to us, from one flower to another, from one animal to another. We pass on different genes. That's why a whole lot of people look like their father. They look like their mother. The genes are passed on. But now, through his study, he found out that even with plants, a dark plant was dominant. A white plant would be recessive, he found out that black and brown skin and brown eyes were dominant. He found out that light skin or white, what Caucasians are, come from a recessive gene, but black and brown came from dominant gene. Brown eyes came from a dominant gene. Blue eyes came from a recessive gene. Now, if you look up the definition of dominant, dominance means superior. Recessive means a lower form. So it's this. You could take two of the blackest people in the Sudan, and certain areas of the Sudan is where the darkest people on the planet live. And you could take them and they could have a child and that child could come out albino. Meaning that child could look white, come out white. So you could get the recessive from the dominant, but you cannot get the dominant from the recessive. Two whites cannot produce a black child. Why? Because that it all started with black. So blacks came in the variations and they had to go through what you call a mutation. Now, this is something that happened, and I want you to understand this. Mendel's study showed that there were three laws that he had, the law of independent separation, that if we independently separate ourselves and just a way a certain look of Caucasian people just move independently, separate themselves and live together, they will produce children that look like them with the same recessive gene. And the law of dominance is that if you have the people with the dominant genes or dominance, you're going to produce a dominant race. Segregation means when you separate, and that's what happened with the Europeans and us, separation. But I want you to listen at this. Now, why we look different, and those of you who are going through COVID now, we have this different strain of COVID. I see I'm running close to running out of time, but we went through, human beings go through what you call a mutation, just like the variant that they have in the different types of COVID. Now, if you look at Webster Dictionary, defines a mutation that it is the change of a structure of a gene resulting in a variant form that may be transmitted to subsequent generations, meaning that that mutation, that variant of a structured gene, it can be transmitted to different generations. When they went over in Europe, their skin changed, color changed, and the texture of a lot of them hair changed. That was it. And they said that caused by the alteration of a single base unit in DNA or depletion, insertion or rearrangement of a larger section of a gene. Do you know that the reason why we call people albinos, because there's a deletion of the gene melanin in that individual? That's why we have albinos. Albinos have a deletion of that gene of melanin in their body, the same as Caucasians. But I don't think they would ever want you to call them an albino, because they know that being an albino just tells that they are recessive. Now listen at this closely, and you can look it up for yourself. The mutation is ultimately the only way in which new variants enter a species. How did new variants enter the human species? Through a mutation. They started off black. And they end up being different colors. They have them look Chinese, Japanese, Vietnamese, all these different things. So what everybody was drawn from one black one lady, and her name was Mitochondria Eve. I had more things that I wanted to talk, but I had to talk about today. I had to go back over about about the Civil War, and I had to talk to you pertaining to Emancipation Proclamation. But there's this big thing about blacks listening to white preachers and what they have taught our ancestors about slavery and about that God ordained. God did not ordain slavery. Satan ordained it. He brought it in here. When man had to work hard, he said, what are your brows? Genesis, the third chapter, verse 16 through 19. It talks about how hard and thorns and thistles, how he would tar me and hard work. Man was lazy. Why you think that place had blacks in the field picking cotton and cutting sugar cane? If you ever saw how hard that work is, you'll know why, and you didn't see black whites out there. Because they did just what Satan brought into the world. Satan brought that in here by tipping Adam and Eve. Well, told Eve, and then Adam listened to his wife Eve, and they went into sin, and God cursed them, and he cursed the ground. He told them that they were surely going to die. He told them that, you know, from dust they came, and dust that they still return. See, man was to live forever. Mankind was created to live forever, but they were created to be herbivores. That we were created. If you read in the second chapter, that it said every plant, every vegetable, every fruit was given man for man to eat. But after man sinned and God had to kill an innocent animal, from that point on, man started eating meat. And that's why I know the old African Americans always would tell us, my grandparents, my parents would tell us, you don't kill nothing that you're not going to eat. Amen. God bless you.
Thanks for tuning into our presentation, and I pray that something was said that opened our eyes more to exactly what's going on in the world today, and to give us more knowledge of ourselves. When I say ourselves, I'm talking about it's time that we learn about ourselves and that we could build ourselves up and not have low self-esteem. I found out that, Lord, that most African Americans suffer with low self-esteem, even those who are graduates from colleges, and they still think we are below other people. And we have this thing that I want to be like other people instead of being ourselves. Now, Lord, as we leave this station, we pray we never leave far from your presence. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, with the love of God, sweet, sweet communion of your Holy Spirit, rest, rule, and abide with us henceforth and forevermore. Amen.
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 Good night. God bless.
Oh, my people, I love you. We're a family. Yeah, you and me, hey. We'll make through it all. No matter what the cost, we're a family. Yeah, you and me, hey. We'll make it through the pain, the rain, and all the trouble by ourselves. People, I love you.
I love you.
We are dying.
We are dying.
They are lying. Hey. We're being shot and haunted. Why you hating me? I'm just trying to be.
I'm
just trying to be. Great as I can be.
Great as I can be.
Grow with one another. Living happily.
Living happily.
But you hurting me.
What you hurting me?
For peace.
Why
I am from Zion, I am a king, and you're a queen. We'll make it through it all, no matter what the cost. We're a family, yeah, you and me. We'll make it through the pain and rain and all the suffering by ourselves. Oh,
you feel the grace,
can
family,
feel the grace,
breathe
family.
Another day,
breathe
family.
Another day.
Granted that y'all gave us all new life, but we need to learn to love each other.
Humanity.
Have a peaceful word to say.
Have a peaceful word to say.
Have a peaceful place for kids to run. Yeah, you and me, hey, we'll make through it all.
My people, I love you.
I love you, my people. I love you,
my people.
I feel your pain, people. I feel your pain, people.
Listening to History Talk on Breaking Chains with Dr. Lavert Kemp. Thank you for listening and tune in next week to learn more of who you are. Breaking Chains History Talk with Dr. Lavert Kemp.
It's History Talk. Yeah, History Talk.
Leaving a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of silence.
Sponsored by the United Theological Seminary and Bible College, Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Thanks for turning us on this evening. Just know we are here to assist you in recovering your light from back from the darkness. Speak the Truth with Young Adults Talk Live, a ministry for the people of God. So let's join together and recover what's ours. God bless you from the Young Adults Talk family.